This is the day the Lord has made. Thank you for joining us in worship today. We praise God for you and however you're listening. We pray the message you receive will allow you to strengthen your relationship in Christ and build his kingdom as we seek God, shape lives, and serve the world.
St. Mark, the gospel according to Mark. Mark's gospel, Mark chapter 16. And if you're able to stand, can we stand for the word of God? We stand for everything else. Let's stand for the word of God. Let's stand for the word of God. And if someone does not have their Bible, will you let them look on with you, whether you have the Bible in paper or whether you have it in your app. But go with me to Mark chapter 16, beginning at verse 1. Mark chapter 16, beginning at verse 1. Mark chapter 16, beginning at verse 1. And when you've got Mark 16, verse 1, just let me know by saying, "Preacher, I've got it." If you don't say, "Reb, wait for me." Amen. Mark chapter 16, verse 1. I don't know which version you have, but I want to read out of the New King James Version of the Bible. And this is the way my Bible reads of Mark chapter 16, beginning at verse 1. It says, "Now when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome brought spices that they may come and anoint Jesus. And very early in the morning on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they began to talk and say among themselves, 'Who will roll the stone away from the door of the tomb from us?' But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had already been rolled away, for it was very large." And the Bible says in verse 5, "And entering the tomb, they saw a young man, a young angel, who was clothed in a long white robe, sitting on the right side." And the Bible says, "And they were alarmed. But he looked at them and said, 'Do not be afraid. You're seeking Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified, but he is risen, and he is not here. Come and see the place where they laid him.'" I want to read it one more time, brothers and sisters, because I want it to sort of sit in your spirit. Let's get what it says in verse 1. "Now when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome bought spices that they might come and anoint Jesus. And very early in the morning on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb. And when the sun had risen, they began talking among themselves. And they asked a question, and here's what they asked. They said, 'Who will roll the stone away from the door for the tomb for us?' But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had already been rolled away." Church folk don't know when to shout. I'm going to say it one more time. "And when they looked up, they saw that the stone had already been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw this young man clothed in a long white robe, sitting on the right side." And the Bible says, "And they were alarm. But this angel, this young man, looked at him and says, 'Please don't be afraid. Please do not be alarmed. You're looking for Jesus of Nazareth, but he is not here. He is risen. He is not here. He is risen. And come and see where they laid him.'" Do me a favor before you take your seats. Go ahead and look at your neighbor and smile at him and says, "Neighbor, the pastor needs your prayers. All of your amens. Tonight's sermon subject, just keep going." That was the wrong neighbor. Find you one more neighbor that's going to talk back to you. Put some attitude in your voice and say, "Neighbor, whatever you do, just keep going." Come on and give God praise as you take your seats. Whatever you do, just keep going. Whatever you do, just keep going. Whatever you do, just keep going. Dr. Thurman Tillman, I've discovered in this short time, and you've been pastoring longer than I've been alive. But it'll hit some of y'all a little bit. But here's what I've discovered, Dr. Thurman Tillman, I've discovered in 34 years of living, that life has a way of making you throw up both of your hands and say, "I'm done, I'm quit." Okay, if some of you holding have not said amen, that's okay. I'm going to tell you what my grandmama said, "Baby, just keep on living." Because sooner or later, life has a way of making you throw up both hands and making you quit. Wait a minute. Not only does life make you want to throw up both hands and make you quit, but I've discovered that every now and again, I know y'all super saved, more saved than me, but every now and again, First Lady Tillman, life has a way of making you spell out a couple of explicatives. Words that are not Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. Life has a way of making you say a couple of words. And here's what I know what some of y'all are saying. But Pastor, I am saved and sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, fire baptized. But please don't get it twisted, because just because you are a Christian does not mean it excludes you from having pain, problems, and predicaments. I thought I have some real saints up in here. The people up in here that can say, Pastor, I'm saved, I know the Lord, but the devil still stops by my house. I'm saved and sanctified, but every now and again I get one thing handled, and then something else pop up. I get one family member popped up, then other fool start popping up. Life has a way of making you saying, I'm done, I've quit. And last time I read my Bible, brothers and sisters, the Bible says that Satan comes to steal, to kill. Where my Sunday school teachers at? Bible says that Satan comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But here's what I've discovered, brothers and sisters. The devil does not want your house. He can't live in it. He does not want your car. He can't drive it. He does not want your child. He know they're a trip and a vacation. Here's what the devil wants. He wants to destroy your faith that God's going to turn that thing around. I know some of y'all got all your stuff together, but where all my real people at and say, Pastor, I'm on the first night of revival. It's Monday. I'm stressed. I'm drained. I'm trying to keep my mind from not losing my peace of mind. But the only reason I came in church tonight, because I know that God did it before. He can show up, do it again. Go ahead and elbow your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm one of the ones that I should have lost my mind. I wanted to quit, but every time I wanted to quit, Dr. Tillman, the coach keeps saying, put him back in the game. I got Bible. Nobody told me the road would be easy, but I don't believe he's wrote me this. For please sit down. I got 13 minutes on the clock. Life has a way of making you want to quit, and here's what I've discovered about quitting. Quitting is a permanent answer to a temporary situation. That's why every day, First Lady Thurman, you got to wake up and say, after Lord, thank you for a new day. You got to say, Lord, give me some strength to not lose my ever-loving mind. Lord, give me some strength to keep my hands to myself and not say something that I ought not be saying. Listen, brothers and sisters, life has a way of making you want to quit, but I like what the gospel according to Mark chapter 16 tells us. It teaches us that when life makes you want to quit, God has a way of giving you more strength, more glory, more peace. Where all my people in here today that can say, Pastor, I don't know how I'm making it, but every time I take one step, God takes another step. Every time I wanted to throw in, God said, uh-uh, today ain't the day, and tomorrow ain't looking too good either. Just keep going. And that's my whole sermon, brothers and sisters. Thank you for having me. But if you give me about 8 minutes, let me see if I can sort of put a crease in the sleeve and iron this thing out. Because the gospel according to Mark shows us a couple of reasons that you got to make sure you do that if you're not going to quit. Dr. Tillman, you've been pastoring and leading 37 years. I just talked to Pastor Thurman. He's been in Savannah for 10 years. Pastor Paul Little's been pastoring for 5 years. And some of y'all have been older than all of them ages put together for all them years. And I know you're not sitting up in church tonight because you've been so saved. Come on, tell the truth, tell the whole truth. You ain't in church because you've always done it right. You are in church because Mark chapter 16 tells us a couple of things you got to do if you're determined not to quit. The first thing this text teaches us, Dr. Tillman, that if we're not going to quit, number one, the first thing you got to do is you got to work with people who know what God can do. This side ain't talking to me. I'm going to talk to this side. That if you're going to make up in your mind, I'm not going to quit, you got to work with people who know what God can do. I want to say for all the people in the back that if you're going to see God do some stuff in this church and in this city and in your life, you got to learn how to get together with some people that have seen God do some stuff. I got Bible. Because Sam, the Bible says in verse 1, look what the Bible says. The Bible says in verse 1 of Mark chapter 16 that these three sisters are on the way to the tomb to anoint Jesus. Now, wait a minute. Can I just go ahead and teach you something? They're on the way to anoint Jesus with spices because it was customary that whenever a king had been dead and killed, that before they could really be buried, you had to anoint them as a sign of honor. So these three women are on their way to anoint Jesus with spices, but don't miss it. They already know he's dead. Okay, y'all missed it in here. They know he's dead, but these women, here it is, they have a history with God. And when you have a history with God, you can look at some bad stuff and say, this ain't how the story's going in. Can I ask y'all a question? Well, all my folks that's got a history with God, you've seen God heal bodies. You've seen God get families together. In fact, well, all my people here says, Pastor, I am the evidence that God will make rains out of no rains. I am the evidence that he'll pay your bills when you ain't got no money. I am the evidence that God will handle your enemies. Don't miss it. They know he's dead. But because they had a relationship, Dr. Mason, with God. See, when you hang with folk who know what God can do, you don't have no kind of dead religion. You don't need to be around people that say, child, I don't see how it's going to work this time. I don't know. The doctor said it looked like cancer. I ain't going to survive this time. When you're going through some stuff, you got to surround yourself with some folk who know how to pray. That can say, in the name of Jesus, I know the doctor said one thing, but it ain't over. Can I let y'all in on something? Now, if you come tomorrow night, I'm going to say y'all lied on me. You can always tell people in church who got a history with God. Okay, come here. I'm going to come get you. You can tell folk who've got a history with God in church. Because at the name of Jesus, they ain't sitting there like they're ready to be entertained. See, when you got a history with God, you understand, wait a minute, he's one thing to you, but to me, he's daddy. He's a lawyer in the courtroom. I feel like preaching in here. You got a history with God. Don't. Anna, don't miss this. Because if you hang around with folk who don't have a history with God, you'll spend all your time trying to pull them up when they ought to be encouraging you. But this ought to be the year you say, I'm cutting everybody that I got to drag, and I ain't got enough strength for you. I got enough strength for myself. Dr. Little, when you have a history with God, you don't walk by what you see. Come here, Bible readers. When you got a history with God, baby, you walk by what you know. And what do we know? We know that all things are working together for the good of those who love God. I like it. I like it because Bible says Mary, the mother of James, Mary Magdalene, and Salome. I like it because Salome is around the way, girl. I like it. The way I look at the Bible, it's like three sisters from Savannah State. You understand what I'm saying? You got one that's a Delta, one that's an AKA, one that's a Sigma Gamma Rho. And here's what I love about it. They make up in their mind that just because it looks dead, I'm not going to let dead stuff stop me from walking. I came to talk to some people in here. Walk with people who know what he can do. Can I give you one more? Yeah. That if you're going to make up in your mind, I'm going to keep going, don't just work with people who know what he can do. But you got to walk through the darkness until you can see the light. Okay. Reverend. All the immature saints, you ain't going to shout around about here. Text says in verse 2, that these three sisters, three homegirls, these three women are on their way to the tomb to anoint Jesus. Okay, you missed it. And the Bible says, look at verse 2, and when they leave, they're leaving on the first day of the week, very early in the morning. Okay, some of y'all went over your head. I'm going to come back and get you. They leave very early in the morning. What are you trying to say? There's no flashlight. There's no torches. There's no Georgia Power. Ain't no Apple iPhone flash.
flashlight, which means, Pastor, that if there's no light, they are traveling in darkness. See, anybody can walk when the sunlight is on, but can you walk with God in the darkness? I want to know, do I have anybody that says, Pastor, I'm in a dark season right now, but I'm walking by faith and not by sight. Text says, verse 2, it's very early in the morning, and they can't see their way. And most people would have said, I ain't going. Because some folks scared of the dark, tell the truth. You don't know what's going to be out there. But here's what I love about it. They make up in their mind that just because life has landed me in a dark spot, don't mean that I've got to stay in a dark spot. I got Bible. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy always comes in the morning. What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to say, listen, that I don't care what church you at tonight, when life puts you in a dark spot, don't you get worried and don't you stop walking, because God does his best work. Come in here. God does his best work in dark places. It's in the darkness where God takes negatives and turns them into the dark and positives. It's in the darkness where God brings out the very best in you. And I want to know, do I have anybody that would hear the whole doggone truth and say, Pastor, my strength tonight did not come when the light was on. It came when the lights got cut off. It came when I didn't see my way. It came when the doctor said I had cancer. It came when I had to bury my mother and father, but I kept on walking. I never forget it. It was about 1994. We had moved from Atlanta to Macon, Georgia. Mother had took a job, and they had in Macon, Georgia, the flood of 1994. We had moved the week after the flood, and my mama said, well, we're going to get a couple of things. And there was a Kmart on Tom Hill Senior there in Macon, Georgia. And my mama said, well, we done got some water, but I need to run in here and go to Kmart and get a couple of things. Jarvis, yes, ma'am. You know the rules? What rules? You know the rules. I said, mama, what rules? She said, okay. Since you're acting like you're slow, here it is. There are three rules before we get out this car. Rule number one, don't touch nothing. You ain't got no money and I ain't got none either. So if you touch it, I'm going to leave it right at this store. Rule number two, stay by my side. Don't be running around the store like you ain't got no home trainer. Yes, ma'am. Go on, get out the car. We walking into the store. Mama getting what she got to get. They had a produce section at Kmart at the time. Mama said, I need some cabbage. We getting ready to have some cabbage on Sunday morning. I said, cool. Mama and cabbage. And I noticed one of the other little boys, he was running and playing, and we was by the toy section. I saw him have one of them Red Ryder BB guns still in the box. I looked at my mama, she was in the bell peppers. I said, shoot, I'm about to go for what I know. Left mama in the bell pepper section. Went down and started playing with the boy. I said, this your gun? He said, no. I said, is your mama going to buy it? He says, no. I said, well, mine ain't either. Can I hold a gun, please? We end up playing cops and robbers right there in Kmart. I got through playing. I said, well, I'm going to go back to the bell peppers. I went back there. I didn't see mama. I said, oh, Lord. I went over there to where the frozen foods were. No, mama. I said, oh, Lord. Went over there by the mayonnaise and ketchup. No, mama. There was a Caucasian manager that looked at me. I was about 7 years old. He says, son, are you lost? I said, yes, sir. He says, where's your mama? I said, I don't know. Last time I checked, she was in bell peppers. Well, is she there? No. Well, did you look anywhere else? Yeah, she's not there. Well, what's her name? Mama. No. What's her first name? I said, my mama told me don't call her by her first name because that's for grown folk and I should stay in a child's place. So what's your mama's name? Mama. Well, what's your last name? Ellis. So you're trying to tell me her first name is Mama, last name is Ellis. I said, yes, sir. He says, follow me to the front. Went to the customer service desk. Pastor Paul Little, he gets on the screen and says, we have a young man by the name of Jarvis Ellis looking for Mama Ellis. He says that he'll meet her in the bell pepper section. I went to the bell pepper section. No Mama. I waited there about 5 minutes. I'm looking around. I said, no Mama. I began crying now because I said, she always told me that if I ever act up, she will leave me in this store and I'm going to have to spend the night in Kmart. And then all of a sudden, I heard a very familiar voice on the loudspeaker screen that said, boy. I said, ooh. She said, boy. I looked around. I said, that's my mama. Jarvis, you can't see me, but I can see you. And here's what I need you to do. All I need you to do is to follow my voice so we can go ahead and get on home. And that's all God is trying to tell us, that even when you can't see your way, learn how to follow the voice of God. Sit down. I got 6 minutes and we go on to the game. If you're going to keep going, work with people who know what he can do. Yes. Mama Tillman, if we're going to keep going, we got to walk through the darkness until we can see the light. But here's number three. If we're going to keep going and not quit and serve this present age, we got to let God fix what only God can fix. I'm going to talk to this side because I believe y'all heard what I said. That if you're going to see God do some stuff in your life, you got to learn how to take your hands off stuff and let God fix what only God. You can't fix what God can. Okay, here it is. The Bible tells us in verse 3 and 4 that this stone is large and standing in these three women's way. It's large and it's big, but they don't stop. It's a two-ton rock and heavy, but they don't stop. They could have gone back because it was dark, but they don't stop. They could have stayed where they were, but they don't stop. They could have gone and said, I'm done. I'm not going to go to the tomb. But they do not make excuses, and they do not stop. And can I tell you why they decide to keep on going? They made up in their mind that no matter what's going to come my way, I'd rather be with God in a storm, with God in darkness, than without him in the sunshine. I'm done. I'm closing with verse 4, 5, and 6. The text says that when they finally get to the tomb, Dr. Mason, they are met by an angel who is sitting on the very stone, Anna, that was once blocking their way. Okay, y'all don't read the Bible. They are discussing how big it is in verse 2 and 3. But when they finally get to the place walking by faith and they're talking that we know God is still there, the Bible says the very thing that was standing in their way, the angel is now sitting on top of. Okay, one more time for station identification. That when they finally get there, they are sitting, the angel is sitting on the very stone that was once blocking their way. And all I'm trying to tell somebody is that St. Paul, when you make up in your mind, you're going to keep going. First African, when you make up in your mind, you're going to keep going. The body of Christ, when you make up in your mind, you're going to keep going. God himself will dispatch some angels to handle what's been handling you. I got to get on out of here, brothers and sisters. But I like what the Bible says. The Bible says that when they finally get to the tomb, they begin to say that they see this angel. Why is it that when God does something that we've never seen before, we always assume that it's a ghost? But I love what the angel says. The angel says, don't be worried. Don't be scared. I know you've never done it this way before, but just keep your hand in God's hand and let God fix what you can't fix. I like it because the Bible says in verse 5 that after he sits on the very thing, he says, come and see where you laid him. What are you trying to say, brothers and sisters? I'm trying to get you to understand that all of us drop some stuff along the way. We drop our purpose and our dreams. We drop our ministries. We drop the very thing that we told God we would do after the last time and after the last time. But when you make up in your mind, I'm going to keep on going. I'm going to take one foot in front of the other. I'm going to walk by faith and not by sight. I like it because God says I'm going to send some angels that's going to go ahead and go ahead of you and don't touch what you can't touch. Come on, y'all, let's go home. I gotta get on out of here. But we used to sing a song in Fort Valley, Georgia, that said, all night and all day, I got an angel, let's go home, watching over me. I got a good old lady here. But there used to be a TV show called Mandela Reese and Roman McDowney. It was called Touched by an Angel. And the whole TV sitcom was about how they got themselves in situations. But when they thought it was all over, God dispatched an angel. And just when they thought they were going to lose their mind, God sent an angel to keep your mind. Is there anybody in here, even on a Monday night, that can say, Pastor, I am the evidence that I've been touched by an angel? I should have lost my mind, but an angel showed up, touched me. Should have been on suicide watch, but an angel showed up, touched me. Let's get on out of here. I need everybody to please sit down. I got one more question that I want to ask some of y'all in here. The first question I want to ask you is, who in here believes in angels? Who in here believe that, oh, you can't do it? God will send somebody and send them some way to make a way out of no way. Okay, I want to speak to all the real people who can say, Pastor, I believe in angels. This is the first question. Where are all my people in here that's ever been sick in their body before? The doctor said, you and me, we're going to make it. The prescription wasn't working. Had to have multiple surgeries. But you stand as a living angel. They say, there's no secret to what God can do. Where are all my people in here that says, Pastor, I got the healing angel who trusts my body? Go and throw your head back. Say, God, I thank you for sending an angel. Please be seated in here. I need all the real people in here that's ever been broke before, ever been slain of pope before. I'm talking about man-made sandwiches. I'm talking about salami sandwiches. I'm talking about mayonnaise and sandwiches, syrup sandwiches, poly meats. I'm talking about pork and beans, but no pork. Is there anybody in here that can stand and testify that when I ain't got no money, God will step in, make a way out of no way? And my testimony is, there ain't no secret to what God can do. Please be seated. I got one more question. Where are all the people in here that some soon have made a whole bunch of mistakes? You done lied before. You done some stuff before. Said a couple of cuss words. You done drunk some stuff that you had to purchase with your ID. You done been at some places. Had no business being in. The gunshot should have killed you. The stuff you drunk should have made you lose your mind. But God somehow put an angel around you. And you can stand and testify, I don't think I'm better than nobody else, but I am a living testimony. Should have been dead, sleeping in my grave, but I've been touched.
Remain connected to us as we build God's kingdom together. Join us on Facebook at the historic First African Baptist Church and our website, firstafricanbc.com. You may also contribute through an app called Givelify, GIVELIFY. May God bless you and thank you for worshiping with us.